time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Okay, thank you so much. And it is episode 165. I'm very excited about this episode because we're wrapping up a little series on the Bible. And I would like to talk about today just the uniqueness of the Bible. You know, there are many things we've talked about in the past several weeks about the Bible that really do lend credible evidence to the fact that it's not just any old book. It's not just an ancient collection of documents, but that there's something very, very special about it. And I think the evidence shows that that the Bible is supernatural in its origin. And we've talked about that from a theological standpoint, from a historical standpoint, from an archaeological perspective as well. And I want to talk today just about a little bit more about the uniqueness of the Bible and wrap this thing up. And then we're going to move on to another topic next time. But before I do that, let me tell you about something that's very exciting. I heard from my publisher, Harvest House, this past week, and they informed me for the entire month of July that they're authorizing to offer my book, my latest book, Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy, for $3.99 in its digital form. So however you read your books on digital, whether it's Kindle or Nook or, you know, Cranny, whatever you do, you know, with your digital world, go to your favorite digital provider, whether it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, wherever you get your digital books, and you can get that book for $3.99 for the month of July. So beginning July 1st, you should see that deeply discounted digital version of the book. So love for every one of you to go out and grab a copy of that, and to be able to access some of that truth and that teaching regarding the basics of Bible prophecy and really how to interpret Bible prophecy, and to understand really how to look at your Bible and see what's happening in the world and be able to make sense of it. So really want you to get a copy of that. So $3.99 for this whole month there. Also, this podcast is now being broadcast to over 60 countries across the world. I don't know how. It's just a God thing, and I remain humbly grateful for that. I know it's not because I'm wonderful. It's because God is, and so I thank Him for doing that. If you're one of my listeners and you'd like to be a part of helping to support this podcast ministry, then just drop me a line on my website. You can go to jeffkinley.com and click on that contact tab. If you'd like to join in on being a part of supporting this ministry of mine, then you can click on the contact tab, send me a message, or you can click on the donate tab and set up a sort of monthly donation. And you know, the great thing about a ministry like mine is that it takes a lot of people really coming together to continue to keep things like this going. And it doesn't matter the amount. It's all about what you want to contribute, or if you just want to enjoy it from week to week and not be a part of that way, but you support me through your prayers and your encouragement. That's cool too. I really do mean that. That means a lot to me. And so thank you so much, first of all, just for listening, for being who you are, and for really appreciating sound teaching and the truth that never gets old. Okay. All right. Let's jump into this thing here. We're going to talk about the uniqueness of the Bible. And, you know, the one of the things I love about the Bible is that it does, it sits alone on the shelf. You know, when I was a non-Christian, okay, I grew up unchurched without any real Christian background. I mean, I went to church when I was, you know, a small child, like I'm to age 5, but then my parents stopped going to church, and consequently, so did I. So for the next 10 years, 11 years, I never really went to church per se. So I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but you know, the crazy thing about it, growing up in America during the 60s, yes, I'm a very, very old man. Growing up in the 60s, we just had a respect for God, and we had respect for God's word. And even though I didn't know God, I didn't know the Bible, I didn't never open the Bible or anything. I had a copy of, I had my grandfather's Bible in my room as a young teenager. And I just remember back then, even having a certain degree of respect for the scriptures, I would never put a book on top of the Bible on my shelf when I was a young non-Christian, pagan, just hedonistic teenager. And, you know, that may be superstitious. It really may be. But there was also a little bit of respect in there as well. And so I think that was maybe God's way of just keeping a door open in my heart to one day when I was led to Christ by another young teenage guy, that for me, it just kind of kept that open door and that open line of communication. So that God could speak to me. My heart was not, even though I was full of sin, my heart was not so hardened that that God couldn't break through. So I still had just this respect for the Bible. And I think you will too after our podcast today. So let's talk about the Bible. And these are just facts, okay, that really testify as to the uniqueness of the Bible above every single book. Okay, here's the first thing. The Bible was written over a 1,600-year period. People always ask me, Jeff, how long does it take you to write your books? And it usually takes me anywhere from 4 to 6 months, depending on the book and the nature of the preparation, the study time. But yeah, it takes about 4 to 6 months. It took the Bible 1,600 years to be written. It was written over 60 generations of people. Now, that's amazing. But what's even more amazing is that it was written by over 40 authors from all walks of life. Now, you couldn't get two lawyers or two doctors or two preachers or two plumbers to agree on every single fine point about their profession or about the, you know, the study of what they do. And yet we have 40 different authors, over 40 different authors from all walks of life. For example, Moses was a political leader. He was trained in the universities of Egypt, very well educated. On the other hand, we got Peter, who's a fisherman. He's not well educated, as far as we know. Joshua was a military general. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. Daniel was a sort of a prime minister high up in government. Luke was a medical doctor. I mean, he wasn't a slouch. Then there's Solomon, who was a king. Duh. I mean, he basically ruled the known world at that time. Matthew was a tax collector, so he would have been very meticulous about his record keeping. Paul was a rabbi. Paul was very well educated under Gamaliel. He was, in essence, he had a law degree, we would say today, but in the religious world, and kind of trained in the highest areas of education of his day. So you got so many different authors from all walks of life. You know, you got Amos, who was a shepherd, and you know, Nehemiah, and all these people. I just mentioned Nehemiah, but all these people who wrote the Bible, they just came from every section of the world. And what does that tell us? It tells us that God can use anyone, first of all, but it also tells us that God reached out to a diverse group of men to write the Bible. And they were also written, these men, they wrote the Bible in different places. I mean, Moses was in the wilderness. Jeremiah was in a dungeon. John was on the Isle of Patmos. Luke wrote while traveling. Paul was in a prison. Daniel was on a hillside and in a palace. So written in different places. They're also written at different times. David wrote in times of war. Solomon wrote in times of peace. Some of these authors wrote with different moods, different emotional states. Sometimes they wrote at the heights of joy, and other times they wrote during the depths of sorrow and despair and depression. They were written on, the Bible's written on three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, written in three different languages, primarily Hebrew and Greek, but some Aramaic as well. And the Bible covers hundreds of controversial topics, and yet without disagreeing or contradicting itself even once. It is in perfect harmony with itself. And these authors, many of them, well, most of them, did not know each other. They didn't live, many of them, at the same time. And yet, and they didn't know that the other would write, you know, hundreds of years later. And so these guys seem like there's this unseen hand guiding the writing of Scripture. Seems like to me, 2 Peter, I believe it's 1:21, tells us that the Holy Spirit was moving men along to write certain things. So the Bible is unique in that way. It's also unique in its circulation. It's been read by more people and published in more languages than any other book in human history. I mean, nothing's even close to it. Not even Harry Potter, okay? It's the world's all-time bestseller. And yet, people have tried to get rid of the Bible. I mean, even though it was written on you know, material that perishes, I mean, there was a natural process to where obviously these papyri would disintegrate over time. So it had to be copied over and over for hundreds of years before obviously we got to printing presses. And yet the Bible retains, as we've seen in previous podcasts, not only its style, but it's also its correctness. It's worth noting that the Masoretic Jews, a group of men whose sole duty was to preserve and transmit the copy of the scriptures, kept tabs on every letter, every syllable, every word, and every paragraph as they copied it. So that's one of the reasons why it makes it such a unique book. No other book has that type of meticulous attention given to it. The Bible has survived persecution throughout the years. In fact, Voltaire, the French philosopher, who died in 1778, made this prediction. He said that 100 years from his time, Christianity would be swept from existence and passed into history. 100 years after his death. Well, history does record that 50 years after he died, the Geneva Bible Society used his own press and his house to produce massive stacks of Bibles. Oh, the irony. Many years earlier, in 303 AD, the emperor Diocletian issued an edict to destroy Christians and their sacred book. But Constantine, the emperor who succeeded him, commissioned the preparation of 50 Bibles at the government's expense. The Bible has survived criticism. In fact, one writer has said that the Bible is an anvil that many a critic's hammer has been worn out upon. The Bible is also unique in its claims. I mean, not many books claim to be the Word of God. And we know this to be true because 2 Timothy 3:16 says it claims to be the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, 1 Thess 4:15, 1 Corinthians 11:23. In fact, 3,800 times the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord." Or if you're King James, "Thus saith the Lord." 3,800 times in the Bible. That's a repetition beyond making the point that God is speaking. And so when you think about it logically, the Bible had to have been written by one of several combinations. It had to be written either by bad men and bad angels, good men and good angels, or God. Now, there are no other choices available. Either good men and bad men wrote the Bible. Good men obviously writing what is true, bad men making up stuff. Bad angels influencing the writing of the scripture so that it would be false, or good angels helping communicate visions and truth so that scripture would be written accurately. Or God, the Holy Spirit. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of other options available to us. As we've seen in previous podcasts, the Bible is unique in its fulfilled prophecy because up to almost one-third of the Bible was prophetic at the time it was written. There were 109 prophecies fulfilled at the first coming of Jesus, and some 214 remain unfulfilled that are yet to be fulfilled. And if the first prophecies were fulfilled, all fulfilled literally and exactly as the Bible predicted, then why should we think that the Bible wouldn't fulfill the remaining prophecies literally and exactly as it has predicted? The Bible is 1,000% correct track record. I mean, it always hits its mark. There's so much more we can explain about that. Let's talk about this. The Bible is unique in its moral standards. There's, you know, the Bible gives us a consistent moral standard throughout. It tells us that there's the law of conscience, the law of God, and those two things come together to give us a consistent moral law. And a lot of people don't realize that the Bible is consistent throughout. I mean, people think, well, you know, there's inaccuracies in the Bible, there's, you know, errors in the Bible. But then when you ask them to point out some, usually they can't do that. You know, sometimes they may try to reconcile or try to challenge us to reconcile certain quote-unquote mistakes in the Bible, but those can be easily explained with just a little study. And then the Bible is unique in its life-changing power. You know, Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the division of both soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Jesus himself said in John 6:63, he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." That's the life-changing power of the Word of God. As I quoted earlier, the reference 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, that's every graphe, every word of scripture, is inspired by God. That is the phrase theopoeisnos, God breathed. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for training, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's just good for you. I mean, John 17:17, Jesus says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. And why is that so relevant? I mean, we look at that. You know, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Speaking of his disciples, he said, your word is truth. So why is that such a relevant phrase today? Because we're living in a day where truth is being destroyed, where truth is being attacked, where truth is up for grabs, where truth is malleable. It's fluid. It's liquid. There's no truth except your own truth. I mean, we're here at the end of, I'm recording this at the end of June, which is Gay Pride Month here in America, which is the most most damnable abomination that I can think of, other than celebrating Shout Your Abortion. Those two things are two of the most demonic, hellish things that we could be proud about. I mean, it's one thing just to be in sin, okay, for a person like a homosexual, whom God loves, by the way, okay? But for a homosexual to be in sin, that's one thing. But for someone to march in a parade and to dress up like penises and vaginas and have 10-year-old drag queens, you know, marching in a parade and all sorts of obscenities and shouts against Christianity and against Jesus and against God, all those things that we see, that's just, it's just the depth of depravity and tells us we are living in a new dark age. We're living in a dark age, and truth is something that is greatly needed, and we're not getting truth in a lot of America's churches, and even many of those who claim to be evangelicals. We're just trying to make people feel good and help them survive, and that's it. What an absolutely deplorable low standard to set for a church or for a Christian life. And we want to make sure we preach the raw, feral truth of God. And, you know, when the Old Testament prophets gave their message to a sinful Israel or Judah, when they preached prophecies against pagan kings, they just took the hits for it. They didn't say, no, we need to think of a way to build a bridge to Ahab and Jezebel. We need to think of a way to say this nicely, you know, to the prophets of Baal. No, Elijah, it didn't care. And you know why he didn't care? It's not because those people didn't have, you know, some sort of worth, but it was this, that he cared more about being faithful and having integrity with God's truth. And our hand, it's just on the point of truth here, our hand is being forced to declare the unchanging truth about God in an immoral, pagan, Noah-like society, okay? Days of Noah time. It's a new dark ages. And Christian, you have to be willing to keep your light on. You have to be willing to keep your lamp lit. And that means standing for the truth no matter what. If your government goes against you, you stand up and you disobey. If the government compels you to do something that is against your conscience or against the word of God. And the Bible has life-changing power. And so we can't back down from the word of God, quote unquote, in the name of love. Love is telling people the truth. You're being hateful and you're condemning people to hell when you don't tell them the truth. So God's truth is really the only way. And, you know, as we've seen, the Bible can be trusted. And no matter what happens in our world and our culture, this unique book called the Bible, you may say, well, Jeff, that doesn't prove, all this stuff doesn't prove it's the word of God. Of course, it doesn't prove that it's the word of God, but it does prove that it's the most unique book in the whole world, that it would come together after 1600 years and 60 generations and 40 different authors and 3 different continents and 3 different languages. And all the truth just perfectly harmonizes like a beautiful symphony. It's like all these authors and all these truths are like different, you know, orchestra members, and they're playing this incredible, symphonic, truthful melody that captivates and captures your soul and catapults you into worship of God. And when you see how great the Bible is, all it does is want to make you worship the God of the Bible. I hope that's been encouraging to you. Hey, I'll see you next time on another episode of the Vintage Truth Podcast. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.